Please open your copies of God's Word this evening, once again to Ephesians. And we'll read from verse 31 of chapter 5, please. Chapter 5 and verse 31. Out to verse 9 of chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen. And if you would turn over the few pages to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 16. And we'll see that he wrote to the church at Colossae with the same doctrines that we're reading in Ephesians. Good just to get the different wording and the different accents of the apostle there. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. And we'll come back now to Ephesians chapter 6. And with the Lord's gracious help, this evening we're examining the first three verses of chapter 6. So chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And we'll read them again just to get together now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. For those who may know something of science fiction, and I'm not standing from the pulpit encouraging you to waste your time on that. As interesting as it might be, as I have a natural bent towards that sort of thing, certainly in my unsaved days, but even now there's still a weakness, and yet I know there is a great atheism at the heart of it all. There's a self-righteousness, you know, man left to himself will create utopia and will be wonderful and caring and all these other things, which of course is contrary to our own experience in the world. of the last 6,000 years. However, there is a saying that's used in one particular series, and if you happen to know which it is, that's fine. If you don't, you can ask me afterwards. It's a saying that is, live long and prosper. And I'm not asking anybody to put their hand up. But live long and prosper. It was a wish, it was a desire, it was a sort of a greeting that was made. We might say, how do you do? And then, but this person would say, live long and prosper, as he would greet or depart from someone. But it's the words, what we're saying there, live long and prosper. It is a desire of the Lord. We've come across it before in Deuteronomy 30 or 31, where the Lord talks about that we are to choose life, that thou and thine seed, thy children, may live. Again, it's the same idea, live long and prosper. But it is the Lord's will that all of his people would live long and prosper. And as we're going to see this evening, it is the Lord's will that children would live long and prosper. That they would live long in the Lord and that they would prosper in the Lord. Hence the phrasing that we have there. And so we see then as we open up these three verses, and I've given the introduction more of its own point, there is a continuing theme that we see here as we open up chapter 6. It's a new chapter, yes, it's a new chapter. The apostle is now focusing his attention on the children, no longer on the parents. And he is continuing that larger theme that we've been seeing, maybe from the beginning of chapter 5, certainly from chapter 5 and verse 22. When he's speaking of the larger theme of the divine order. The divine order in society, but of course the divine order in society is composed of a number of things, but most especially of the family unit. And so he's been concentrating on the family unit, and he's continuing that now, having dealt with the wives and then the husbands. And he rounded that section off with verse 33 of chapter 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, speaking to the men, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And then with the next breath, as it were, as he's writing this epistle, he points to the children. He speaks to the children. The children are not left out. They're not left out in the slightest. And so let's just go back for that fuller context without repeating too much. Wives were to submit themselves to their own husbands in the Lord. Men were to love their wives self-sacrificially, scripturally, in a number of different ways. And again, in the Lord, as Christ has done so, as Christ does so for his church. And now that both the parents have been helped, wives to be more Christian wives, husbands to be more Christian husbands, the marriage to be more of a Christian marriage. And of course, this is a long, lifelong process. It is an aspect, shall we say, it's a specialized application of sanctification. That sounds like a very long one. But a specialized application of sanctification. Sanctification within the office of wife, in the office of husband, in the relationship of the married mother and father, the husband and wife. But now the husband and wife are becoming a father and mother in the context of Ephesians, the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. So they've been helped, and now the children are to be helped. And as we see that in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you might think so, children who are present, and we have a number of children present, that this has all been planned. This has all been planned from many years ago, a couple of years ago, that we would eventually work out that in spring break, that the children would be able to come out later than usual and all have to hear a sermon or a Bible study directed at them. And my planning is not that good by any means. This is the Lord's providence. So the one night, maybe in the year, that we can get all the children out. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, is speaking to you. He's speaking to us all this evening. But do please pay attention to what the Lord says to you. And he says it personally. He says it individually. Because he says, honour thy father and thy mother. That's speaking to you individually. He's not just saying, all children obey your father and mother. That would be the use of just a general. It'd still be valid. But there's a personal command. Now, this divinely created and ordained family, God-ordained family unit, is the best place to be for men, for women, and for children, most especially when the scriptures of God are the guide for men, women, and children. And not only the scriptures as their guide, but the love of Christ at the very heart, at the heart of every member of the family, at the heart of the very family. Which brings us to the apostolic words themselves. So we've seen that there is a continuing theme. We're looking at the family, the household of God, in this very tight and narrow family unit. Secondly, we see the apostles' exhortation. We say the secondly, yes, as we look at verse 1, the apostles' exhortation. He's exhorting. What does that word exhortation mean? It's to exhort, to encourage. It's the idea of putting your arm around somebody and saying, come on, this is the best way to do it. That wasn't the best way. This is the best way. Have you thought of doing it this way? So it's not quite a command, but he is exhorting us to listen to a commandment. That's true. The apostles' exhortation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see now the children are getting the apostles' full attention. He's not no longer maybe just speaking over their heads. As the children think they can just turn their ears off and, oh, this is for the grown-ups and not for me. That's never the case when the word is preached. Of course, it's a challenge for the minister to bring it down to bring it across, I should say, that everyone can understand it. But now, you have no excuse. The Lord, through the apostle, is speaking and giving you his full attention. Therefore, you give him his full attention, your full attention to him. Now, we may take this command, but he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We can take that as a general command to every single child on the planet. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Because it's a moral command. It's taken from the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And it's the fifth commandment of the ten. And yes, we can say it is morally binding on every child. Wherever they're born, into whatever culture they're born, it is binding upon them. And yeah, but in the context of what we're reading in the letter to the Ephesian church, we can narrow it down a little. And say, well, this is in the context of Christian children. Children that are brought up in a Christian household and they attend church. So that makes it even more focused upon the children here tonight. And focused upon us all in any case. And they're not considered in the scriptures as we read them now outside of the church. They're within the visible church. They are in the household of God, and therefore they are addressed as being within the church. And that's exactly what we see here. They're spoken to. A letter was sent by Paul, and he's addressed the different peoples in the church. The different groups, the moms and the dads. In other letters he will speak to the elderly ladies. In another letter he'll speak to the younger ladies. In other letters, he speaks to different parts of the congregation. Because different parts of the congregation have different needs, have different problems, have different challenges. But now he speaks to children within the church. And such children then are to obey their parents. Very simple. To obey their parents. Now this word obey, what does it mean? Well, it's in the original language, it's close to the word to listen to. So it's to listen to pay attention to your parents. So to listen to what they say and then do what they say. That's what the full meaning of that word is. The Lord is not saying, children, you are to be your parents' slave in some sort of way. He's not saying that. Now, you're to pay attention to what your children say and then do what they say, when they say it, how they say it, because that's full obedience, of course. So obey your parents, he says. And then he says in the Lord. You may have noticed that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Well, what would that mean? Why would he add that phrase in there? Well, that would appear to mean very much the similar thing as he said to both the wives and to the husbands, to the moms and to the dads. He said, you know, moms obey the dad, wife, obey your husband as unto the Lord. And the husband is to love his wife in a sacrificial way, in the same way that Christ did, and other matters that we've already looked at now. So it's always in the context of Christ. So it is the duty that children owe to their parents under God. Isn't that the context of everything in the Christian life? We're not doing it to bribe God. We're not doing it because we don't want to be punished by God. We're doing it unto God. We're doing it for God. And you might think, well, isn't only the apostle somebody who's really working for God? No. Is only the minister the man who's really working for God? No. Within our own sphere, in wherever we are, however old we are, however young we are, we can all serve the Lord in our own way in the place where the Lord has put us. I will say this, though. It might also have a secondary meaning, another meaning. And that other meaning, I think, is this. Is that you, insofar as your parents tell you to do that which the Lord would have you do. In other words, your parents aren't saying, go into that shop and steal a bag of potatoes. That's not what the Lord would want. The Lord says, thou shalt not steal. And so therefore, if that's against the Lord, so you're obeying your parents in so much as it is the Lord's will. Now, the Lord wants you to obey your parents in that which is acceptable to the Lord. And therefore, there's very few parents, especially within the church, who would ask you to do something, would tell you to do something which is against the Lord. They're not going to tell you to lie, tell you to steal, or tell you to do any of these other things. On the contrary. And so children, therefore, are to have their own conscience. You know that feeling that you have within you, that you've done something wrong, you've said something wrong, and you feel bad inside? Well, that's your conscience telling you that you've done something wrong. That's your conscience. Or you forgot to do something and you should have done it, and you feel bad inside, and you think, well, I'd promised to do it and I haven't. And that's the same thing. That's the inside. That's the conscience. That's the Lord has put like something within you to let you know when you've done good or when you've done bad. And it is the same with that. The child, just as much as the parent, is to have an understanding of what is right and wrong before God. To understand, maybe not everything, but understand something of the moral requirements of God. What is right? It is right to speak the truth. It is right to be, therefore, honest in all things. It's right. It is right not to steal. It's wrong to steal. And it is right to honour your father and mother and obey your parents in the Lord. So anything that your parents would ask you to do that's against the Ten Commandments, you could turn round and say, in the Lord, Mom, Dad, I can't do that. Now that's not an act of rebellion. That's not working against your parents. They might think so. It's working for them. You say, oh, I can't do that. Now, it might be that the child's misunderstood the parent. But in the same way that we are not to have a heart of rebellion as adults against the government, but there is an unfortunate disobedience when it needs to be the case, when they're commanding us to do something which is contrary against what God has said. It's the same with the parents and children. So it is in the Lord. It's that which is according to the Lord. Everything that the parents ask the children to do that is pleasing to God, that is according to God, they should do so. So there's nothing immoral about doing the washing up. There's nothing wrong about tidying your shoes away. There's nothing wrong about keeping your room tidy. These are good things. Therefore, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then he closes that verse and says, for this is right. This is right. Now you might think to yourself, child, you might think that, of course it's right. The Lord says so, therefore it is right to obey your parents. But that's not really what that word means. It is the right thing to do, of course. But that word that's translated as right actually means righteous or just. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. For this is just. This is the correct way of doing things. It's the righteous behavior of a child to humble themselves under the loving authority of their parent and obey them. Now we look a little bit more at what that means more fully later on, I believe. So the continuing theme and then the apostle's exhortation brings us in verse 2 to the commandment's duty. The commandment's duty that we have. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's very clear here, by the way, that the Apostle Paul does not believe for one second that the Ten Commandments are no longer for the New Testament church. He quotes them, he applies them, he teaches them. Just as we are passing on here, it's not just an Old Testament thing. It is a New Testament reality still. It is the standards, the moral standards of God. And so the fifth commandment here is that which is quoted. And it is the first commandment on the second table. We understand that the Ten Commandments were written on two stone tables, tablets. And the second table it is then that draws our attention just a little bit away from our relationship with God. The first commandments, the first four commandments, speak about our relationship with God. I shall have no other gods before me. We're not to worship God with statues or images or anything he has not commanded. Third commandment, we're not to take his name or anything connected with his name in vain. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they are all directed, they are all relationships between every one of us, old and young, male and female, mom and dad, whatever, and God. But then we come to the second table of the commandments. Commandments 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. And this is the first of that section. So it's still regarding God. God, of course, is still in the picture. But this is our relationship, our love, shall we say, to our neighbour, to our fellow man. And the first relationship that's given is interesting. He doesn't say, and you might think so, and I sometimes think so, surely one of the most basic things is just don't kill. Don't kill each other. Not to kill. No, that's not the first commandment. As it were, the base, the foundational commandment that he gives in the relationships between human and human is between children and their parents. Because, of course, family is foundational. Foundational. It is a little church. So it begins with such a commandment. And just as much as the children are to have no other God than Jehovah God himself, children are also to obey their parents. It is just as important that the children obey their parents as that they do not lie, nor steal, etc. And the commandment makes it clear when we read the commandment, honour thy father and mother, that both parents are to be obeyed. It's not just the strict one. It's not just the disciplining one. It's not just the angrier one. It's both parents, whichever one that might be. Father or mother, you might instantly think, well, that would be father. That's not always the case. So whichever parent it is, it makes no difference to God. Both mom and dad are to be obeyed. And here's the important aspect of this commandment. When a child having a mom and dad, let's just say a child has a mom and dad, there are always exceptions to a lot of these things that we're saying, but the basic rule remains. When a child has a mom and dad, what is that? Well, their parent gives them food, cares for them, comforts them, gives them clothing, looks after them in all sorts of different ways, mentally, emotionally, physically, takes them places and all these things. But if a child cannot obey the parent that they can see and touch and hear, how on earth can the child then love and obey their heavenly father? You see, that first relationship that every child has is to teach us something of the relationship that we have with our heavenly father. Now, I understand that people don't always have a good relationship with their earthly father, or they may not even have an earthly father. But in any case, one of the main understandings of the relationship is that it teaches us something, because we get all these things from God. We get our clothing, we get our health, we get our strength, we get everything from God. And if we can't learn to be thankful and loving and obedient to the parents that God has given us, through whom he gives us all these things, then how can we ever learn to love God and obey him? So the relationship with a child, between a child and its parents, is really the child's training ground. It's reference point as well of relationship between them and God. I know bad fathers and bad mothers, we're all bad fathers and mothers to some degree, can always ruin that, but that's not the case. That's unfortunately, that's the case. Everything is drenched and spoiled by sin. That's very true in any case. And we see in verse 4, of course, that Paul is not blind to that either, especially when it comes to the fathers. So the continuing theme, so it's all about the family. The apostles' exhortation, children, obey your parents. The commandment's duty, well, that's the fifth commandment and what it says. Honour thy father and thy mother. And then fourthly, the law's promise. The law's promise. And although we've seen here, and we will examine it now, that there is a promise attached to the keeping of this commandment. The first commandment. And in fact, the only commandment. The only commandment within the wording of the commandment, the way the Lord has written it out or spoken it out, it's the only commandment that we have that has a promise built in. Of course, there is great blessing and great other promises are linked with the keeping of the Lord's commandments in general. But this is the first commandment. You see how this says something about your heavenly Father, children. About how kind and how merciful He is. That He said He knows what type of parents you have. Your parents aren't perfect. Your parents sin. And yet to say to you, obey your parents, honor thy father and thy mother. And then adding a promise in there as well. I mean, that shows something of the kindness and the love and the mercy of our Heavenly Father through the commandments to speak to the children. Children, I know it's not always easy. I know you'd rather be doing something else. But honour your father and your mother, the Lord says. Honour thy father and thy mother, very personally. Now, that is that promise. And we read that the same exhortation that he made, the Apostle Paul made to the Christian children in the church in Colossae. He said something very similar. He exhorts them with a different type of encouragement. He doesn't talk about it being the first commandment with a promise. What does he say? And we read it just before. Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. It's just making it very clear what that obedience means. Not some things that suit you, but all things that are good. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. There's a motivation that's there. Is that obeying this commandment, children, it pleases your God. It pleases the Lord. It's pleasing to Him. And the motivation is then is that you're to have that obedient heart, an obedient mouth, an obedient hands. It's not to be, as we read later on when he speaks to servants. Again, that same thing. You know, you are to obey your masters. And in the same way, the children are to obey your parents with a true heart. You're not doing it only because you feel you have to, but because you know you should and you want to obey. There should be some more of a heart that's involved in that. Let me look at the word. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. And because this obedience, it pleases God, he then gives a promise to the children in the keeping of that commandment. And that's what Paul goes on to say in verse 3. So he says it's the first commandment with a promise, and then in verse 3 he tells us what that promise is. And we close with this. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee. That God's blessing will rest upon you. As an extra blessing. For the child that obeys their parents. When does a child stop being a child and stop obeying their parents? Well, of course, when they become an adult. That aspect of honouring your parents in some way would fall away, especially when you commence your own family. But if you're living at home, you're still under the covenant headship of your father, so that's a different matter. But as you grow up and you become more independent, there will be a time when you're no longer under that headship of your father. And you will be starting your own family, and so you still honor your parents, you'll still love them, you'll still speak well of them, you'll still speak respectfully toward them, but that obedience, yeah, you may desire to do something that your father would not choose to do. That's not necessarily disobedience when you are a grown adult. Of course, how you do it and how you express that and how you communicate that, that can all be good or sinful or a mix. But the honouring remains. But the aspect of honouring that you have as a child to your parents includes most essentially obedience. And that obedience, it pleases God that it may be well with thee, that there's a blessing. God says, I'll bless you, children. I'll bless you when you do your best to obey your parents. I'll bless you, children. And not only will I just bless you, but I'll bless you also with a long life. A long life, he says. Now the wording in Exodus itself is, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And when we read that, we might think, he's speaking about the promised land of Israel to the people of Israel. And in that context, that's correct. But the word land and earth in the Hebrew is the same word. And that's why Paul is not twisting scripture or changing it when he translates it as earth, because it's the same. And of course now he's looking at the gospel going out in the Great Commission to all corners of the world, of the earth. The corners, not because it's square, but because of north, south, east and west. I'll just add that in very quickly. So he's not changing the commandment. But we're to honour. You're to honour the father and your mother. And so this is the promise. Shall we say this is then the promise that's made to children? If you're obedient to dad and mom, the Lord will bless you. And he will bless you with a long life. And if it's a blessing from the Lord, it'll be a good thing. There's enough cursing in the world. There's enough difficulties in the world. But then the Lord says, but if you obey your parents, if you love your parents and honour them, then I will give you an extra blessing. And it's a rich blessing. And just consider, if you know anything about the patriarchs, the believing patriarchs in the Old Testament, many, if not all of them, lived long and blessed lives. They were respectful to their parents. You see that Abraham had great respect for his own father. And we see Isaac loved his father. Jacob, well, he loved his father as well. We know there were certain difficulties with... he wasn't perfect by any means. But we see that there was that love towards his own father also. And we can continue on when we think of Joseph especially, of all the children that Jacob had. There is a love, and then there is a blessing from God, a rich blessing. But if there's a blessing upon your life, and a blessing of a blessed long life to obedient children, then we understand by definition that the other way around is also without blessing. So where a child does not honour their father and mother, they are not obedient to their father and mother, then there is no promise, but rather there would be cursing. There's a warning. Willful disobedience to the parents means that you don't please God. You don't come under God's blessing. He will withhold that blessing. His displeasure and his wrath will be upon you. And then we have what we see in the world around us today, and it has always been the case at various times. It just becomes more obvious and more public in the world. But even if you go back to ancient cultures, you have generations bemoaning the fact that the standards of the previous generation have fallen. And that must, after many thousands of years, we must consider how deeply fallen we have. But what are disobedient and rebellious children then? Well, they're the ones that despise their parents' authority. Think, you've got no right to speak to me. You've got no right to tell me what to do. Well, we do. We have a God-given right. But the attitude of the rebel in the heart of the child, despises the parents' authority. They, as they get older, they might not come home on time. Even though they've agreed to come home at this time, or they can't be bothered. Because they don't honour their parents. And then they'll get involved with friends that their parents do not agree with, because the parents know better than the children. And they can look two or three or four steps ahead. They remember that sort of child when they were growing up, that they were, to use the old expression, ne'er-do-wells. But they don't honor their parents' judgment. They don't honor their parents' authority. They don't honor their parents' rules. Hence, they take part in activities that the parents absolutely forbid them to do. And that, it is with that rebellious and foolish and sinful heart of a child that dishonors and disobeys their parents, that does everything that it can, and as the exact opposite of what their parents said. It's those children that receive God's, shall we say, curse. Now, every normal loving parent desires their children to grow up to be happy, to be strong, to be responsible, to be level-headed, to be educated. And add to that, a loving Christian family desires that their own children would know the Lord and would walk with the Lord. But the rebellious child will do neither. They won't be responsible, they won't be level-headed, they won't be educated in the right way, and they certainly won't bow the knee before the Lord Jesus. In fact, they're doing everything against that. And so what do we see then? If we see instead of honouring their father and mother, instead of obeying their parents in the Lord, then they do the exact opposite. They disobey their parents, they dishonour their father and mother. What that means then is then they will have a cursed life and a short life. It's not a blessed life and a long life, but an accursed existence and a short life. And we look around us at the great examples of that these days. They will die young. They will die in that car accident. They will die at a party because they took some drug that they shouldn't have taken. They will get involved with the wrong crowd and they will be mixed up in violence, which is way above their heads. But just to spite their parents, they will do all these things. And worse still, they will die in their sin. So for body and for soul, it's just not worth disobeying the commandments of God. And so those that obey, that love and honour their parents, there is great blessing. But for those that don't, there is great cursing and a short life. And we see that. We see that in our neighbourhood where we are. But neither God nor good Christian parents want their children to live a short and a wasted life, and certainly not to die unsaved. But see with me then that phrase that it says here, that thou mayest live long on the earth, also has a hint of eternal life in it. That those children that obey and honour their parents are showing something about what's inside. That the Lord has saved them, that the Lord has forgiven them, that there is something of that rebellious heart against their parents has been dealt with. Not all of it, but something. There's a change of attitude, there's a change of heart. And that's why all Christian children must obey the gospel command and call, that they're to repent of their disobedience, they're to repent of their dishonouring, and they're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. No second-hand faith, because mum and dad are saved, therefore I'll be okay. No, their faith is their faith. Your faith must be your faith. You must repent and believe. And God will forgive you your disobedience and your dishonouring and all your other sins. And therefore let us just close with these words of the apostle in verses 1 to 3, and close with this then. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And may it please the Lord to bless that word to us all of us, that still have parents, there's still a role to honour them. But children, to honour your father and mother, for it is right, it is righteous to do so, if you do it in faith, of course. Now let us close this portion of our meeting in prayer, please. Merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word to us, to our every heart, especially to the children. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God that encourages and even motivates us. Yes, there is an obedience. There are things to do that we may not want to do, and yet it is right in the Lord. It is well pleasing, and there is a blessing in it. Lord, we thank thee for these truths. May it please thee to bless thy word to each and every one of us, to apply it in our own lives, that we may take this word home with us and be reminded in our relationship to our parents, however old we are, that there is an honouring that never goes away. And when we're under the authority and under the care of our parents, obedience is part of this. And Lord, as we'll come to examine in verse 4 the role of the fathers, and Lord, we do pray for that help in understanding and therefore applying it as parents, especially fathers, but both parents, and especially where the one parent has to take up the role of two. Lord, but thou bless thy word to us, bless it to us with thy spirit, that we may hear and believe and obey. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.